It may not surprise you that Micah 6:8 is one of my favorite Bible passages. I think it's a favorite Bible passage for a lot of pastors. It was in my pastor paperwork. I have it on a plaque in my office. A friend reminded me of this week, that in seminary, I doodled a visual representation of it to be a tattoo that I'm too chicken to get. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. But this idea of do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God, it's simple. In fact, the book of Micah is pretty simple. It's a very short book. It's only 7 chapters. If you flip through it to try and find it in a paper Bible, you'll probably miss it. You could read it in one sitting. This is how Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis describes Micah in the story Bible, Just Love. Micah was a prophet from a small village near Jerusalem. His neighbors worked hard for what little they had. Sweat dripped into the dirt as they tended their crops. They grunted and groaned as they toted water and fixed their roofs. And while ordinary people worked hard, powerful leaders stole their fields and houses. And it wasn't fair. Micah felt God's outrage at the injustice, and so he spoke out. Truth and judgment toward these powerful leaders, these politicians and priests and greedy landlords. And so for today, we get this little powerful snippet from the end of his words. You can kind of see it 2 different ways. If you are a lawyer, which many of you are, I know, you may see this cosmic courtroom where creation itself, the mountains themselves, stand as the jury. I kind of see it as this intimate kitchen debate, kitchen table debate, where there's this broken relationship on full display. God begins with this lament. I have brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery, and I have set you these powerful leaders, Moses and Aaron and Miriam, to guide you. And the people respond with this contriteness. They know they've messed up, but how can I repair it? Shall I come and bow down low? And you can almost see God shaking their head. So the people try again. Should I bring some burned offerings? And you can almost hear God sighing. You start to hear the desperation in the people's voices, because now their offerings are not enough. How about thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? And then when that is not enough, do you want my baby, God? The one who is most precious to me of all. And then you hear this third voice. I'm going to call it the gut voice. This is the voice that shows up from deep within us. God has told you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We know at our innermost being what God desires for us. This is all God has ever wanted. God doesn't want our transactions, our performative rituals, the patronage of, if I pay you this, then it'll all be fixed. It doesn't work that way. Justice and mercy are wrapped into one for God. There's a Hebrew word for it, hesed. This is the very essence, the very being of who God is, rooted in relationship, justice, and mercy. And this, dear ones, is so much harder. It sounds beautiful on paper or on a plaque or even a tattoo. But the reality is, it's pretty daunting work. It's big and impossible most days. We know what is right and what we ought to do, but the world is so complicated and we are so enmeshed in the messiness of this world. And I think that is why we also get the Beatitudes today. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's perhaps most famous words, his first voice in the book of Matthew, his first teaching. He's like a new Moses reinterpreting the law, though we cannot treat this list like the Ten Commandments. This is not a list of shoulds or a checklist to get us to perfection. Though I think what this is a list of places where we do find God, where God promises to show up. That word blessing is a loaded one. Even in our modern context, we see the hashtag too blessed to be stressed, or our football teams huddled together praising God after a winning game. We are blessed. That is not what Jesus is talking about here. The Greek is actually more like happiness. One commentary suggested congratulations. It's weird, because the list of things that Jesus is talking about is not something any of us would say congratulations to. The hopeless, the ones who are lost and cannot find a new path. The meek, the ones who have been trampled on by the rich and powerful. The despairing, who know the way things are is not the way things should be. The grieving, the bullied. This is where God shows up. Not in might and strength, but in vulnerability, and the I don't knows, and the I can'ts, and the I'm afraid, and I feel alone, and I am angry, and I feel overwhelmed and helpless. Congratulations. It's almost as if in this world that tries its darndest to be perfect, Jesus here is saying, dear ones, that is your humanness that is your superpower. Don't let anyone take that away from you. This is what will save us. This is what will repair the breach. This is the only way forward, where wholeness and abundance and life will finally breathe and thrive. Thursday morning, I met our bishop and about 25 other Lutheran clergy to join 700 other faith leaders, Buddhist and Jewish and Hindu and Muslim and humanness and Christian, representing 27 different faith-based organizations. And together we gathered at Reformation Lutheran Church, which is right behind the Supreme Court. We gathered to pray together, to hear firsthand accounts from faith leaders what is happening in Minneapolis. And each of those who spoke on Thursday talked about the importance of being neighbor, of seeing our human superhero power, our human superpower in one another, and not letting anyone take that away from us. The story that has been on repeat in my head since Thursday was the story of this imam who was from Minneapolis, and he got up to speak, and he said, good morning, I am Somali, and I am American, and I am proud to be a Somali American. And then he got so teary, he couldn't speak for about 3 minutes. And the silence in that room was palpable. And when he found his voice again, he said, I am here today to tell you, I am not garbage. I am gorgeous. And the room erupted with cheers. He went on to share stories of his congregation living in fear, unable to go out and do simple things like get groceries. And he named the importance of continuing to be a neighbor and what that looks like. And from this place, we left Reformation Lutheran, and we went to speak to our senators. We ask them to vote no against more money in the budget for Department of Homeland Security and to pause immigration custom and enforcement, the border control folks, until we can bring back due process, accountability, dignity, and our constitutional rights as citizens. I didn't get arrested, but several of my colleagues and friends did, including our bishop, simply for singing in the rotunda of the Heart Building, for lifting up the voices of those who have been silenced, and the song that they sang, that we all sang together until we were asked to leave, in Spanish, is "They Are Not Alone, For Together We Bring About Liberation." And it is sad and it is hard, and I cannot help but think about the Somali family that lived across from me in Northeast Minneapolis, the Holy Land restaurant that had the world's best baba ganoush down the street. But dear ones, I am heartened and I have hope today because these stories, these phone calls, and the singing that is happening across our country is working. DHS funding has been separated from the regular appropriations bill, and it is still being debated. Senators are hearing from people of faith across the country, and I have hope that things will get better. Dear ones, this is the radical work of blessing that Jesus was proclaiming on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the important work that we are still called to do in this moment. And what actually we celebrate today on this Reconciling and Christ Sunday, alongside 1,114 other Lutheran churches. Together we affirm the beloved beauty in each of you, not just some of who you are, but all of who you are, every single nook and cranny. I meant it in my children's sermon when I said we are better for having you in our midst. Our diversity, our rainbowness is our superpower. And together we sing people back to life and mercy and abundance and joy, with God's help, of course. And no one can take that away from us. Dear ones, today indeed I do thank God for you, for your witness in the big ways and small ways, for the ways that you continue to show up in your sphere of influence and show love and mercy and dignity from your specific places. In these days, I am comforted and reminded by the famous prayer from Reverend William Sloan Coffin, who says, "May God give you the grace to never sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth, and too small for anything but love. So do not be afraid. We are in good company. Keep being your beautiful self. And may we remember together God's proclamation to us and to our neighbors. We indeed are gorgeous. Amen. Thanks be to God.